Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, usually I start here with some kind of, you know, stupid joke or kind of out of left field topic. But seeing as this is now two NBA players who have, in my opinion, just kind of royally stepped in it regarding the marginalization of another community. First, you had Steven Jackson, you know, supporting DeSean Jackson's statements on, you know, the anti-Semitic conspiracy theories that were going on there. And then you had Nick Cannon take it a step further, and Dwayne Wade just randomly tweeted out that, you know, we stand with your, you know, I'm not sure who Dwayne considered we in that equation. And, you know, my thing is, you know, given how much, you know, you and I have spoken about and supported Black Lives Matter, and I support that. I stand by everything that we said. Honestly, even more so now, it just sucks to see two very important voices in that conversation turn around and echo such bigoted sentiments here. For me, prejudice of any form, I'm not going to tolerate it. And I've been really disappointed to see this go down the way that it has.
Yeah, I think that whenever you characterize groups of people as having certain attributes, right, as a result, and
especially negative
ones, you have to understand, like, right, yeah, you have to understand also, like, the genesis, the beginning of those types of tropes and those stereotypes,
yeah,
right? And that those are weaponizations, and weaponizations that many communities, women, and many different groups have faced as a result of, like, the reason that those tropes and stereotypes exist is to demonize those groups, mm-hmm, right? And the both of those comments and those conspiracy theories and all that are born of that. And it's ignorant, right? It strikes mm-hmm me as you know, like, people getting one very perverted side of a story, and one, that story being intentionally constructed to hurt the people that it's about. And so it's not something you, like, you can't be speaking on groups of people like that,
no,
while without educating yourself first on, you know, where does this come from? What are the different perspectives on it? Because whenever you vilify entire groups of people, that's, you get in not only into trouble, but it's wrong. It's just wrong.
Yeah. I mean, like, for me, the way that marginalization continues is if there is no cross-societal support that goes on to, you know, like, one of the really cool things over the course of this kind of chapter of the Black Lives Matter movement has been how white people have joined in, right, and stood in support of some of the values that Black Lives Matter really holds up. And, you know, I think the way that, you know, for the way that anti-Black prejudice carried on for so long, well, that took place because it was only the Black community, not, you know, not only, but predominantly the Black community who were standing up and saying, you know, no, guys, like, this is actually going on in our community. This is how we are being wronged, or how we have been wronged over American history. And now seeing, you know, so many various groups stand up with the Black community and say, all right, we're here with you, you know. And now, I'm not going to go so far, and I would never go so far as to say that this lessens the Black Lives Matter movement. I think, while, you know, especially in a movement that has grown so big, you're going to have people say dumb stuff that are a part of that movement, and I'm capable of separating the movement itself from those people who are saying this other dumb stuff. And it just lessens those guys as advocates in general. You know, when they stand up and say anything from now on, I don't know if I'm ever really going to be able to look at Dwayne Wade the same way, especially after his apology, in which he never even mentioned anti-Semitism. You know, he was like, I was talking about Nick Cannon's content. I promise. I swear. It was like, now is when you choose to stand up for Nick Cannon's content. Now is when you want to say, like, I really enjoy wiling out. Like, this is when you want to show your support. You know, the way that went down, and it's really too bad, because, you know, what it tells me is, in the case of Steven Jackson, in the case of Dwayne Wade, they can only find it in themselves to care about societal issues that directly affect them. And I just don't think that's any way that progress is made worldwide. You know, I just don't think that's how this thing works. For Dwayne Wade, he's been incredible with the LGBT community because of, you know, what he's gone through with his daughter. And, you know, is he incapable of caring about groups and societal groups or issues that aren't directly impacting him? You know, would he think any differently about his daughter if she wasn't his daughter? You know, like, that's the part that I'm hung up on here. And that's why I think I was so kind of bummed out in watching all this go down, is because, like, Steven Jackson has done a ton of great work with the Black Lives Matter movement. And Dwayne Wade has done a ton of great work. And now from this point on, I'm not really sure either of those guys, like, I'm not really interested really in what those guys have to say moving forward. And losing voices like that just sucks in general. Today's show is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Head on over to rockauto.com. Just check out their incredible inventory for car parts, depending on no matter what it is that you might need, or however, whatever kind of driver that you might be. We are, you know, now in a time where saving money is at the forefront of a lot of what people are valuing. And one of the best ways to save a little bit of money here and there is to, for example, change your own oil. If you're looking for parts necessary to do that kind of thing and understand a little bit better on how to do that, check out rockauto.com. They've been in business now for 20 years, helping out all kinds of drivers. They have super reliable prices, all kinds of parts, regardless of what kind of car that you drive. So head over to rockauto.com, and then in the box where it asks, how did you find out about us, write down Locked On. So again, that's rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. But
yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
It's all about education, right? It struck me as comments made from ignorance. Maybe I'm giving too much of a benefit of the doubt in this. I
just don't know that you can be ignorant on this, though.
Oh, no, you can't. You can't, right? Like, this is something that you can't go out, like, with Cannon, you know, espousing conspiracy theories. If you're deep enough into it to be espousing conspiracy theories, you're a grown-ass man who can actually look up, you know, the history of these theories and these tropes and these stereotypes and the damage that they've done to the Jewish community over millennia. Right.
Yeah.
This isn't just a generational thing. This is over millennia. So, they strike me as points made out of ignorance, but that is not an excuse, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is, and I hope that those guys take an opportunity to read up and educate themselves on not just, you know, anti-Semitic talking points, but actual information and history.
Right. I mean, like, I'm not expecting anybody to be experts on all of these issues. That's not where I'm coming from at all. I'm just saying, don't show your ass.
Yeah, don't speak up if you're not. Exactly. Yeah.
I remember when DeSean Jackson first made his comments, and then Steven Jackson echoed them, I was hoping to hear from somebody from the NBA. I think eventually we heard from Enes Kanter, but we didn't hear, I don't believe, from any black NBA players standing up and saying, like, no, man, come on. What are we doing here? You know, I didn't. And it went from hoping to hear that to all right, I guess I'm hoping that we don't hear anybody echo that shit. Like, I hope, like, I'm hoping that we don't hear any other NBA players come to the support of Nick Cannon. Like, that, and it just sucks that bar has been lowered in that regard. And, you know, who knows, maybe over the next few days, maybe over the next few weeks and months, Dwayne Wade can educate himself and learn, and Steven Jackson and even Nick Cannon and DeSean Jackson can educate themselves on these matters. And like you said, the damage that those stereotypes and those conspiracy theories have done to a community that, like, this is where I kind of run into not really having much patience for ignorance on this front. Like, it's not difficult to look up the Holocaust. Like, if anything, it's difficult to avoid the Holocaust in during the education system. Like, it's, you have to, like, go out of your way to not understand what the Jewish community went through. You know, that's where I find myself. That's why I was so disappointed to see all this come up. So I'm like, no, man, like, there's just some things that, you know, like Kyrie Irving, not to say that these things are the same, but like the whole like flat earth thing, like, no, it's not difficult to actually educate yourself on this stuff. If anything, it's difficult to have arrived at that point of your life and still hold these beliefs. That's the difficult thing. You've had to make a concerted effort to educate yourself in that way and say that stuff. And that's where I just say, like, no, I'm not expecting anybody to be experts on all of this stuff. I'm not, you know, it's just like when the controversy with Hong Kong was taking place in the NBA, I wasn't expecting every NBA player to step up and speak, you know, in an educated manner on that subject. It's just like, just don't put your foot in your mouth on this one. Just sit out. You're perfectly allowed. Dwayne Wade, nobody would have noticed if Wade never tweeted anything about it. Like, no, nobody would have said, like, where's Dwayne Wade on? Where I need to hear from Dwayne Wade on this front. Like, that was never a thing that crossed my mind.
Yeah. I don't know what to say, man. It was extraordinarily ignorant, and he took it down, I think, after he saw, I don't think he expected the reaction that he got. And somebody like Wade has typically been, like, Wade's a media savvy guy, very, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and so,
media now.
Right. I genuinely don't think he understood. Now, yeah, that's not an excuse, but I hope that he uses this opportunity where he seemed rather surprised, right, by mm-hmm. the reaction to it. Like, he was, I think, trying to support a friend and not understanding what he was doing in the process of doing that. So I hope that he uses this opportunity to educate himself on why he received the reaction that he received. And I think and hope that he would understand if he puts a little bit of time into it.
Yep. All right, let's take a quick second here. We are going to segue awkwardly, because that's the only way I really know how to. We are going to segue over to Markieff Morris as a story. I'm not going to speculate on where he might be or why he might be missing. That's just not really our thing here. That would get Pete fired, I think, immediately. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do, though, is just look at it from a purely basketball standpoint. And we've already talked as a topic about, like, all right, where's the line in the sand that we would start to worry about the number of guys who might not be able to participate in this thing? So we're going to have that discussion now regarding Markieff Morris, who, you know, granted hasn't played a huge role in the Lakers' success so far this year, but I thought had the potential to be able to do that. So we'll talk about that here in a bit. All right, so Markieff Morris obviously was acquired via buyout, right? It wasn't somebody that was particularly high on very many lists of guys who might win the team that acquires him a championship. He's not that kind of player by any means. Many would say the lesser of the Morris brothers. And yet, I think, even while the numbers don't exactly scream this guy's an impact player with the Lakers, I do think the type of player he is, especially and specifically considering the type of players the Lakers struggled with this year, his absence is kind of concerning to me.
100%, man. 6'8", 6'9", guy that can shoot, has a little bit of ability in isolation. Like you said, Lakers have struggled specifically with wings and bigger wings, and him having the ability to play the four spot and bump Kuz down to the three, all of a sudden we're not so small at that 2-3 type spot, or go small and him play a small ball five, mm-hmm. which he did well in some stretches in his, I believe, 8 games with the Lakers.
Yeah, and to be completely clear, Morris is expected, according to Kyle Goon and his reporting, to be back soon, right, was the word that Goon used, at a time where every other reporter was not allowed to tweet, because every other verified reporter was sitting on the sidelines watching all this take place. Did you notice that?
Can we... Actually, I want to give Harrison a shout out. Harrison was the person who noticed, like, hey, Markieff Morris is not in. Sorry. No. Forgive me if I noticed if that all of a sudden became a question after Harrison pointed out. But
No, it's weird that bloggers don't seem to get the same kind of credit that journalists.
Yeah, it's only quote unquote fans who noticed that.
Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Weird. Mm-hmm. Weird is all I'm saying. I'm saying it's weird. Just like nobody was talking about Jason Kidd when he was hired, and then we wrote about it. But Morris is expected to be back with the Lakers soon. I'm just, the way I'm kind of looking at it is from the standpoint of, like, if the Lakers were a boxer, these body shots are kind of tallying up. Before, by the way, any of the games start and anybody might actually, you know, get dinged up.
Bro, Morris would be a huge loss, but that doesn't look like that's going to happen. But yeah, like, we are, the margin of error right now is very thin, right? Like, yeah. I think we're still in a spot where we can chip, right? Like, we've got the guys who can get it done. Doesn't mean we will, but I feel like one more loss would be really tough to take amongst a rotational player, and Morris is one of those guys, and at a position, like you said at the beginning of the segment, where we've struggled, and his addition is like, oh, hey, now we got another guy around that size who can play, who's a solid rotational player, who can shoot, pass the ball a little bit, some isolation abilities, gives us some more versatility to go small. That would be a big blow.
Also, the toughness factor. Mm-hmm. Like, the Lakers needed somebody who would throw an elbow in the face, you know, or wouldn't stand down. Because one of the things that was pretty clear, especially early on this season between the Lakers and the Clippers, was the Clippers felt like they could punk the Lakers. Mm-hmm. The Clippers felt like they could kind of intimidate them. But I don't think anybody is intimidating Markieff Morris anytime soon. Have you ever heard his story about going back to back with him and his brother while they were both at Kansas?
I have not.
Oh my goodness, it's a good one. So apparently they're at this party and some Kansas football players, which, like, granted, Kansas football players aren't, you know, very good, historically speaking, or big or anything like that. But they're apparently at this party, and he actually told the story. He and his brother told the story on the Libertard show a couple years back. And there was a track athlete who was, you know, getting some attention from them and then also from the football players. And one of the football players came up and confronted one of Markieff or Marcus. And they just kind of looked at each other like, all right, we're going back to back. We're going back to back. And they, like, took on like 5 or 6 football players. The Lakers kind of needed one of those guys. Like, the Lakers needed that kind of toughness factor as an addition to the various other parts of the equation here.
Yeah, the Lakers have Dwight and LeBron, who are especially physical, and AD can be overwhelming with his size and athleticism. But when you get into the smaller players, Avery Bradley is really the only smaller player that I'd describe as physical. Maybe Danny Green a little bit, but from their, like, most of their ones to threes are not guys that are particularly physical. So it's this weird dichotomy on the team where the front court is freaking massive and will dominate you, but the ones, twos, and even some of the threes outside of LeBron can get pushed around a little bit. And Morris, even if he's playing the four or the five, which is usually where he's at, it has that domino effect of Kuz is now a three, and like, you know, Kuz is not the most physical four, but as a three, he's fine. Mm-hmm. And you just get a little more size and physicality, and that toughness, you know, it not only pervades just the minutes that Morris plays, but also has that domino effect on the rest of the team.
Yeah, I was actually, that was the last thing I was going to bring up here regarding Morris, is that I really like the position that he allows Kyle Kuzma to play. Mm-hmm. Like Kuzma to me has always been more of a three than he's been a four, and especially then he's been a five, right?
Right.
He's a two and a three's body is kind of how I look at Kyle Kuzma. And when he was asked to play down at the four, and you know, credit to Kuzma that he was willing to go down there and give it a shot. And I don't know if I ever watched him and felt like he wasn't trying down there. It's just like some people just aren't equipped to do certain
things. He's just not built to do it. Yeah. Right.
And, you know, by having Morris on the team, this allows Kuzma to really focus on being a three, especially in important lineups, especially coming off of the bench, you know, and stuff. Like, he just puts Kuzma in a position that I'm a lot more comfortable with Kuzma. And that, by the way, like, Kuzma is probably a lot more comfortable playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to discuss any new things as we head into the last weekend before we have Lakers games to watch. We're going to get we have a scrimmage next Wednesday, which, by the way, is going to be televised on Spectrum. Spectrum, I'm expecting a check for that.
I emailed them today, like, so you need any videos for that? No, like... You need me, I'm here. So if you're listening, AJ and Dave, I'm here.
Same guys, you know, AJ and Dave, we go way back. we will be back to talk about, to preview next week and all that stuff, and probably send you into the weekend with a little bit more fun than maybe today was. But for now, have a great rest of your day, make somebody else's, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.